Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's a click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's a click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain on the track.
We are back. Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD. By God, Oliva, how you doing, JD?
I'm a total dumbass. I forgot my computer at school today, so I'm doing this on my phone with no real microphone. I had to shoot a fashion show today after school, so I literally had to drive an hour from work to go shoot this. We didn't get out till like 9, and I drove all the way home, and I got stuck on the highway because there was literally, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, there was literally a car engulfed in flames in the median on the highway. Like, it looked like one of those mobster movies where, like, they turn the ignition and the car blows up and it's on fire. It was the wildest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. And I get here, we got to get the new week, because we screwed up on our intro last week, right? So we had to fix that. And then I'm like, dude, I don't have my computer. It's just, we are born under a bad sign this month, man. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and I had to make sure so that we didn't get in trouble by Rich again. To get the right intro. We played the incorrect intro last week, and so I tried to play the correct intro, but because JD didn't have his computer, he's the one that's got the video file. He was going to upload the video file, put it all together. We were going to have a nice great show, but he didn't have the computer. So I go to clip the video file. I have the video file, and then I go to upload it to the StreamYard account. This is very inside podcasting baseball. We just lost a viewer because of it. But I go to upload it, and then Chrome says, no, not today, sucka. You're not uploading videos today. So I had to upload the MP3. And when you do the MP3 through StreamYard, when you play it, it automatically just keeps playing it. So you got to hear a little bit of it twice today. But we're gonna get this new system ironed out. We'll be set by next weekend. Hopefully by next week.
We're with the Voices of Wrestling Network for now.
Yeah, but until we get fired.
Yeah.
John Muse is already busting my chops in the chat. Here we go. This is John. It says, nice Paul thumbnail. No heat for a Tony thumbnail this week.
Oh, should we get into that? Should we just start with that?
We can't. I already addressed it on our Patreon, but I addressed this a couple weeks ago because we had already talked about it. But there's some dudes in the Voices of Wrestling Discord whom I love. I'm sure they use their left and right turn indicators. I'm sure they're fine people. But they get quite upset when you use an unflattering photo of Tony Khan. It's only Tony that they get upset about. They didn't get upset when I did it to myself, when I've done it to Triple H several times, when I did it to Scott D'Amore all those times during the BFI stuff when he was going through his stuff. In fact, there was one of Scott D'Amore that I did where he's screaming into a microphone. And I used AI art to make him look like he was in Hawaii and had a floral print shirt, because I'm like, he's on vacation. That was like the theme of the thumbnail. Guys, I've been doing dumb thumbnails for 3 years now. And it's been kind of part of my gimmick is just to do funny thumbnails. I've been doing it forever. Does it help with the YouTube algorithm? Most of the time, yes. Yeah. A lot of times it doesn't. It's just me making myself laugh. But for whatever reason, the Tony ones get the most attention because the guys like Wrestle Talk and Ad Free Shows and all these other clowns and grifters on YouTube are using the most unflattering images of him, and they're creating controversy when controversy doesn't exist. So the one that they got mad at this past week was me using the neck brace one, which I happen to love. JD, we had this conversation whenever he showed up on the neck brace. You're like, Mike, you got to use that as a thumbnail. I was like, of course I do. This is like thumbnail gold, right? So I, I, I used it for a conversation that you and I had, which I thought was a very good conversation. And in fact, it topped the numbers for the week, and where we had a conversation about AEW being burnt out. And I'm like, what better thumbnail to use than him in a neck brace? Right. And I didn't find that to be an unflattering photo or anything like that, but people got upset at that, but not the two of Triple H doing the dumbest face possible. Not the ones of Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis last week that actually got us the most revenue. It's the Tony Khan one, because they just really like Tony.
Well, so here's the thing, a couple things. One, the people that are complaining about this don't listen to our show, because we literally had a conversation about this 2 or 3 weeks ago. We literally talked about how we game the YouTube algorithm. I even said I kind of cringe when I see him sometimes, right? And you explain yourself, like, this was a whole bit we did on the show. Yeah. But guys in the Discord still bitched about it, like, because they don't listen to our show. So the fact that we're upsetting people who don't listen to us, we've been on this network for 9 months now. So I mean, like, you've had your chance. If you're gonna listen to us now, if you are on the Discord and you don't listen to our show, you're never gonna listen to our show. So it's not like we lost any viewers or listeners or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So whatever, man.
Yeah. And tonight's thumbnail is a very unflattering photo of Triple H. I bet the VOW Discord, the Ringer one, the thread in there where they kind of make fun of other shows, I bet that doesn't get any heat, because they don't like Triple H, and for good reason. We don't like the guy either.
I don't like the guy either. We got $10 last week to bury Triple H, something I typically do for free on the show.
Yeah.
But somehow we're in the take for WWE.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show you how powerful the WWE PR arm is, that, like, if you're – and Joe talked about this on their show. Like, there's people that think that they're on the take for WWE too. Like, it's become like a red scenario. It's like McCarthyism, where we're not pro AEW enough.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Any criticism of Tony Khan, right, or AEW – and I didn't really think that we were being harsh last week. No. I thought we were pretty fair, but we're like, we still like what they're doing, but it's not must see TV. That's kind of what we were saying. Right. And we're not the only ones saying that.
No.
And, but anytime you criticize them, or if you post a picture that they don't like of Tony Khan, they automatically think that you're praising WWE, and that's not the same thing. Right. No. Like, you can criticize one without praising the other. You can praise one without criticizing the other. We like to talk about each show independently. So if I'm criticizing Tony Khan, I am not absolving WWE for all their sins. I'm not, right? Because I'm a normal person and I'm not an idiot. Okay. I just don't think like that. I have a nuanced brain, right? And I realize that things are complex. So I get that. I don't look at things in black and white. And the same thing, like, I said that I liked Cody versus AJ Styles from Backlash. I thought that was a really good match. I really enjoyed it. That doesn't mean I hate Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay. You know what I mean? And I saw some people getting mad at folks who were complimenting that match by them bringing up Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay. Like, they're two different matches, two different companies, two different crowds, two different countries. They're not the same. You can like them independently of each other, right? One has nothing to do with the other, right? And so what I said in the Discord, and I said it on Patreon earlier this week, I went on a little bit of a rant because I just had some stuff to get off my chest. It's going to continue, right? I'm not going to stop because I like doing it. It makes me laugh. And if at the end of the day, the only accomplishment I get out of it is making myself laugh, that's great. Cause guess what? I work really hard at this YouTube thing, and I'm doing a good job of getting our numbers up, right? To where we're actually starting to get sometimes we'll get a couple bucks on a video, which is pretty wild to me considering where we came from, where we were on another YouTube for years and we didn't see any of that money. Right. So now we started our own since August, and here we are in the spring, early summer, and we're already seeing a little bit of revenue from that. What I'm not going to do is kowtow to people who don't listen to the show and who get offended by the thumbnails. I don't care what they think. If it gets to a point where they're bugging Joe and Rich and getting annoyed at Joe and Rich, like I saw somebody like said that they had to unfollow the Voices of Wrestling account because they were upset at the neck brace photo. I'll just ask them to stop tweeting out the links. Like that's fine. I really like that they tweet out the links because it is helpful. But if it gets to the point where they're going to start losing followers, then we'll just be like, hey, look, maybe you don't need to tweet out our YouTube links. And plus, like, our YouTube is an animal right now. We're cranking out content left and right because I clip the shit out of our shows. We're doing tons of shorts and reels and all that stuff. And so that's a lot for that bot to keep up with. I think we're probably the most active YouTube on the Voices of Wrestling and the Voices of Wrestling family for sure. So if we get to that point, then we'll have that conversation. But what I'm not going to do is stop because A, I don't think I should have to. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I'm pretty fair across the board. I make fun of everybody, including myself. And so if people don't like it, then you don't have to like it. But for the people that do listen to the show, like DJ Convoy, who I respect, he's been a day one guy. Mm-hmm. He said he did explain to me, he's like, hey, the people that don't know you guys, and he goes, I know you and you're not like this, they might lump you in with WrestleTalk. And I'm like, I get that people might lump us in with that, but they're not paying attention. So if they're not going to pay attention and they're not going to listen, I don't care. It's got nothing to do with me. It really doesn't, because I know that I'm not a grifter, because what I'm not doing is what Eric Bischoff is doing. And I think Joe Lanza explained it very, very well last week, what Eric Bischoff is doing on his podcast. His gimmick is anti-AEW and anti-Dave Meltzer. No matter what they do and no matter what they say, even if he agrees with it, he will say he doesn't agree with it because he's got an audience to serve. They come to him for that content. You and I take everything on a case-by-case basis. We have never come on this show one time, and it's never happened, where we didn't have an opinion that we didn't absolutely believe in. Have we cranked up the heat a little bit, right? And telling some jokes and you know, like maybe kind of turn it up to 10 a little bit? Yes, but the basis of what we were saying was absolutely true. JD has never said, hey, Mike, I think I should take this position. And then I'll be like, oh, I should take this position. No, we don't even prepare for the show.
No, isn't that obvious?
Yeah. So we're not them. That's not what we do. And if you think that's what we do and you're not actually listening, I don't care what you think. You're nothing to me. So just like listen to somebody. Look, there's a lot of great content on this network. There's a lot of great content. And I think we're one of the better shows on the network, right? But we have a lot in common with a lot of other shows. I think Shake Them Ropes is a great show. Flagship, obviously. Flagship is probably the best wrestling podcast out there. And I hate saying that because I think we are too. But I look, Joe and Rich are the kings right now. Right? And I'm just saying that because they're our bosses. I've gotten to the point where I can't listen to their show before our show because I'm afraid I'm going to steal their content.
Oh, I'm saying, yeah, I can't. I have to make sure we record our stuff before them 100% or yeah. Before I listen to them.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at with it. You guys can check out a lot of other stuff on this network if you're worried about Tony Khan neck brace photo, but I'm not going to stop doing it.
Here's where you and I came from. When we came from Fight Game, you know, Garrett's big thing was he was trying to make it more of a YouTube-based channel, not just podcasts, right? And you and I really embraced that and went whole hog with them. So, like, we come here and we are – I think what helps us stand out on the network is we are a YouTube show. Before, we're primarily YouTube. Like, everything we do now is pretty much video-based. Like, our conversations are video-based. We have a lot of visual jokes. So I think that helps us stand out. And part of what we do is, like I said, this is all Mike, too, by the way. Like, I'm the guy with the video production degree and teaches this stuff. Mike's the guy. Thanks for the thumbs up, whoever just threw that, because I can't tell. Mike's the one who's driving this. And the silly thumbnails help. Like, but if it bothers you that we have silly thumbnails, like, it's fine. Don't listen to us. We get a lot of people, like, read our YouTube comments every week. People tell us we're stupid all the time. And they're right. We are stupid. That's part of our gimmick. That's what we do. I don't even have a microphone today. I'm on a phone. Of course I'm an idiot. What the hell? Look at my name.
Yeah, you know what? And I've been doing it since I started podcasting 3 years ago with you on Brace for Impact. I always tried to have a funny and engaging YouTube thumbnail. The only one, there was one that I tried to get through and Garrett put the kibosh on it. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. That was a bad idea. Mickey James returned to TNA or Impact Wrestling back in the day and was kind of wearing a shirt that got Paul Fontaine pretty excited. And I wanted to put on the thumbnail, Mickey James titillates Impact Wrestling in return. And he's like, maybe titillates is not the one to go with. And of course, I was going to use the thumbnail of her coming down to the ring. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And then now that I have my own YouTube channel, I'm like, now I see where Garrett was coming from even more. Cause I'm like that now my name's on it. It's my deal now. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. He wasn't wrong. Garrett wasn't wrong about that. I forgot about that, but I've totally forgot about that. That's hilarious. So yeah, that's, I mean, like, it's whatever. Like, I'm of the mind that if everybody likes what you're doing, you're not standing for anything, right? If everybody's got something good to say, you're not making enough of a stand. And I think you and I are our own show. We have our own opinions, you know?
Yeah.
They don't necessarily align with everybody's, but you know, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. We have a lot in common with what Rich and Joe like, but we're definitely not parrots of them. You know what I mean? We're not going to mimic them at all. We're always just ourselves. And that's, we were that way when we were over. Look, we did an Impact show on Fight Game Media, and we always did, you know, good or better than most of the other shows on the network, because we were just ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. That's just people like that. And we were not like, we didn't have a gimmick to where we were just crapping on TNA every week. We liked some shows, we didn't like other shows, but we always kept it real. And that's just what we've always done here. And that's what we're going to continue to do. And I really love the fact that we're over on this network. I love this network. We have I think we have a great relationship with everybody here. And so for those of you that have that just kind of hopped on since we've been on the Voices of Wrestling Network, thank you. We love you. And we're not going away. And if you want to really support the show, head to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. We got a lot of stuff going on. I did an MLW review this week, JD.
I know, I texted you, like, do I have to start watching MLW again?
And my answer was no.
Yeah. I was like, is this gonna be I thought it was gonna be like a new segment for us. We talk about MLW again, but I guess I'm good. I don't have to watch court.
Yeah,
stuff
no, anymore. No, you're good. Unless something like significant happens. But if you guys want to listen to what I got to say, go over to Patreon. I uploaded it there exclusively for Patreon. So that's been up there all week. And I also did an episode of Brace for Impact over the weekend. And I actually solicited yesterday on Patreon, so we have a free feed on Patreon, and I'm going to start uploading stuff to that more often. But I solicited a Q&A. We got a lot of good questions. So we're actually going to do a Q&A segment coming up this weekend, and we're going to be putting that up for everybody that's on Patreon. So that's going to be coming up here pretty soon. So lots of Patreon content. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. If you're watching on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up. Hit that subscribe button and lay down a comment. We greatly appreciate it. Because more so than a catchy thumbnail and a catchy headline, the greatest thing you can do to help this show and to help us defeat the algorithm is to actually engage with it. So thank you very much for doing that, if you guys are so inclined. And no matter which feed you're watching, if you're on the Mike and JD Show feed or if you're on the Voices of Wrestling Network feed, they would love the engagement too. So please give a thumbs up and lay down a comment. I would greatly appreciate it. JD, top story. You want to go ahead and just get into it?
I want to get into your background. I love that you went with the solid magenta lighting.
Oh, yes.
It complements the blue that I have really well. I'm very proud of you. Like, you've learned a lot, my friend. I'm sitting here looking at your lighting scheme, and I'm very, very, I wanted to publicly shout you out for stepping up your game.
So I took the week off this week, and because I'll be honest, work has been rough. So I was like, look, I gave my on-call phone to a friend. I said, hey, look, can you fill in for me for the week? I'll make sure you get recognized for all your hard work. He said, absolutely. So he covered down for me for the week. I just took the week off. I really needed it because we've had a lot going on. Some like emotionally heart-wrenching stuff has happened the last like month or so. So I took this week off, got a lot of beach time, grew out my neck beard a little bit. And yesterday I was thinking about the podcast. And so I went over to the store and I bought, I was looking for a new lighting setup. But all I did was buy a new light bulb that can be change colors with your phone. So you just get an app and it hooks up to your Bluetooth, and I can actually change the colors on my phone and I can change the brightness. Because one time you and I talked about buying a dimmer switch for my thing because it was too bright. So I actually just went and got a light bulb that has its own dimmer switch. So I did that and I set it up and I was like, you know what, this week I'm going to do purple, and maybe another day I'll do like orange or red or something like that. Just something different. But I was kind of getting tired of the blue background. I think I lost JD. Yep. JD went out.
I'm back.
JD's back.
Fucking rural internet. Sorry about that. It's one of those nights, man.
It's all good. Hey, before we get into the top story, I went ahead and explained to the audience my purple background, but, this is the boss. He says, you're killing it, guys. You know you're doing well. If people disagree with you, you want people to care one way or the other. When they stop caring, that's when you've lost.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, Rich. I thought he was still recording.
So did I.
Yeah. So thank you, Rich. I really appreciate it.
Glad he pops in the episode where everything's going fucking wrong. So
I know. Yeah. This week he jumps in.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Regardless, the magenta background looks good. Works good with the blue that I have when you play them off each other. So I think we got good things going. Top story.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our top story. As you guys can tell by the thumbnail and the headline, WWE backs Vince McMahon in their quest to compel arbitration. So WWE people keep forgetting that WWE is a part of this lawsuit. They want to say this is a Vince McMahon lawsuit, but WWE is very much in this lawsuit. And WWE joined up with John Laurinaitis and Vince, and they have they made a motion to compel arbitration against Janelle Grant. So basically, because of the NDA that Janelle Grant signed, that Vince McMahon signed, they're using that, even though Vince McMahon didn't pay. He stopped paying, and that's why we're here. They want to compel arbitration to keep this out of the courts. They're trying everything that they can. So all three of them have joined together. We talked about this possibility a couple weeks ago. It has now happened. They had a lengthy filing. I was able to check out a little bit of it. I actually just tried to pull it up on the Observer website, but I just could not find it. It was on their main page, but I don't know what happened to it. But yeah, they're going to compel arbitration. So WWE and Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis all on the same side in this lawsuit.
Of course they are. I mean, like, they don't want this to go to trial. They don't want – the last thing they want is discovery, right? That's why they settle with MLW. They don't want anyone going through their stuff. And that's why Vince McMahon's trying to – you know, say what you want about him. He's always been pretty good at playing the court of public opinion. Like,
yeah.
His whole thing this last week with Janelle, was it this week, actually? Oh, she's sending all these explicit text messages and da-da-da-da. Well, do you have them? Well, no, I deleted them. But, like, that's the thing. It's like, all you got to do is just release that happened. And, like, you try to shape public opinion. And it's a civil trial. It's not a criminal trial. So you can kind of do those things. So, I mean, like, they're just trying to force them to settle, right? And realistically, this is a civil trial, man. These things usually settle before going to court.
Yeah.
You know, I would be – I said this from the jump. I would be surprised if this actually goes to court. She'll get – a very healthy settlement, right? None of them. I would love to see this go to court personally. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I was able to find it. Now, this is a quote from WWE. It says, WWE disputes Grant's allegations, but as a threshold matter, this dispute cannot be heard in court because Grant agreed to arbitrate her claims. WWE therefore moves to compel this action to arbitration, WWE said in the filing. If the case moves to arbitration, that would mean that the case would move to private mediation and out of public court. So that's what they're looking for. They don't want this to go into public court. They don't want this to go in front of a jury or nothing like that because the burden of proof is much lower that way. They just want to get this thing over with. All three defendants in the lawsuit, WWE, McMahon, and John Laurinaitis, support taking the suit in this direction. Simply put, Grant has no claims actionable in this court because the separation and non-disclosure agreement she signed with McMahon and WWE, the monetary benefits of which she concededly accepted and retained, contains an arbitration provision that unambiguously precludes this court from adjudicating her claims, WWE further said. So with that said, Vince McMahon stopped paying. So the NDA, it doesn't appear that the NDA would even be held up in this case.
No, now, that's the whole thing. But that's the whole thing. They're going to claim that because she added the addendum that it has to be arbitrated, we have to go to arbitration, even though Vince stopped paying. Right? That's their entire argument. Dave seemed impressed with that argument. Now it's going to, and again, it's going to go to arbitration. It's all a matter of how much, right? Again, I would love to see this go to court, not going to court. They're going to arbitrate.
Yeah, no, I think it's eventually going to go into arbitration. I think it behooves the Janelle Grant side to hold out as long as possible. Because the longer they hold out, probably the dollar figure is going to go up. Unless, of course, WWE and Vince and Laurinaitis are able to provide some type of damning evidence that corroborates Vince's claims that this was all consensual the whole time. But as of right now, as you mentioned earlier, you know, I guess the dog ate Vince's texts. You know, he said he deleted them once the relationship was broken off. And so But they did say that they think that it'll all come out in discovery should they go to trial, but they're not trying to get to discovery. So it's kind of a veiled threat at that point.
Well, it's a stupid threat because Vince might have deleted his text, but it takes two to send a text message. You think Janelle Grant's deleted those texts from Vince McMahon?
No.
That's the thing. So again, but it's all court of public opinion. Like, he's just trying to, he's very good at this. He's very good at massaging idiots, for the lack of a better term. Like, and there's a bunch of people on there right now going, yeah, look at her, you know, a bunch of Roman Reigns avatars and stuff like that. A bunch of guys who want cheese boards. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I think this thing's, I don't know if done is the word, but I mean, very, very soon we're going to stop hearing about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before this whole thing gets settled. But look, we're going to keep talking about it until that point happens. So as each new story comes up, and for the most part, I'm going to try to make it our top story because I do think this is the most important story in all of wrestling, regardless of what else is happening. So I'm going to try to make it the top story as often as possible. Our second top story, and boy, did I try to get the inside scoop on this, JD, or what? I really tried to get the inside scoop on this Noah story, and man, I got the big not exactly a stiff arm, but our homeboy is kayfabing us a little bit.
Our friend did not answer our questions for this. I'm sure this kind of blindsided him too, quite frankly. Yeah. So I was super bummed that we didn't get any scoop skis on this one, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So Noah wants a WWE partnership. Actually, CyberFight, the new president of CyberFight, stated at the press conference, Yusaki Okamoto, who was appointed as the new president of CyberFight on Wednesday, so that's the parent company of Noah, said one of CyberFight's targets was to strengthen their relationship with WWE. Said CyberAgent, the parent company of CyberFight also owns Abema and a streaming service that is the new home for the WWE content in Japan, including Raw, SmackDown, and premium live events. WWE and Pro Wrestling Noah have worked together in the past. Nakamura took part in the Noah in a Noah event back in 2023, where he wrestled the Great Muta in one of Muta's final matches before retiring. Kenta also made some appearances while he was working for WWE. Wednesday's press conference saw Keiji Muto being appointed as an official scouting advisor for Pro Wrestling Noah, and it was announced that Oka Sasaki and Ita would be officially joining Pro Wrestling Noah. But Noah making the big push to be a partner with WWE, man. What do you think?
It's interesting. Disheartening in a little bit, in a way. Mainly because any company that's partnered with WWE winds up not surviving. So my brain always goes there. Like, WWE was doing stuff with All Japan at the beginning of the year, and All Japan fans really rejected that, right? They brought in Charlie Dempsey to challenge for the title, and the All Japan fans kind of shit on it. I can't help. Now, here's the thing. Japanese wrestling fans like Japanese wrestling. I'm talking about native fans, right? Not people from the States who are Pearl fans or whatever. I wonder how their fan base is going to react to this. I mean, Noah's been really good this year. You talk about, I haven't been watching, and I heard Joe and Rich praise the Last Great Voyage show, and I was like, man, I got to go back and catch this. They're saying it's good things. Like, because Noah, I used to be a huge Noah fan. The last year really kind of turned me off to the company a little bit. I just wasn't connecting with anything. So I was curious. I don't know, man. I don't know how this is going to react. I don't know if CyberFight really just wants to be NXT Japan. And where does DDT fit in all this? Because DDT's got that relationship with AEW, and it's a very different kind of company. Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me.
It's interesting. It's kind of scary because we know WWE's history with working with other companies. Look at the UK scene. There's a lot of people at fault for that, but I think WWE is probably the biggest one for killing that scene. You know, and Regal kind of sold out all those companies over there, and they poached all the talent, and they ended up putting some of them on the WWE network, and nobody ever watched any of this stuff. And next thing you know, pandemic hits and those companies are all out of business. WWE has been looking for their foothold in Japan for a long time. I think they were at one point trying to buy Noah. I think, didn't they try to buy All Japan at one point too?
Yeah, or they did try to buy both. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course the Japanese companies they're very patriotic. They don't sell to outsiders. So it's kind of, I think it's kind of cool that they do that. So, cause they don't want anybody kind of getting their grips into their companies from overseas. So, yeah, but you know, it's, you know, it's really hard to say. WWE's history under the Vince era, you would think, oh, they're going to kill it. But the guys that are there now were a part of that, right? Like Triple H was a part of the killing of the UK scene. You know, so was Regal. You know, Nick Khan probably made some of those deals happen. You know, they essentially killed Evolve, right? They killed Evolve. ECW worked with WWE, and next thing you know, they're out of business. And then you go back all the way to the territory days where Vince was getting tapes from all these territories, and one by one he started poaching the talent and killing them off and taking their TVs. So I have historical precedence that says this probably would not go well should they do it. But you know, ABEMA's a big company. CyberFight's a big company, right? So it's not like they're like a subservient brand like CyberFight. I know WWE is huge too, but CyberFight's no joke. They got a lot of money over there, which you could tell by a lot of the production, the money they spend on their shows. So Wrestle Universe is a great app. It is a great website. They got a lot of great action on there. I wish they would bring over some of their MMA stuff and kind of make it like a super combat sports app, but I really like it. And visually, I think Noah, as far as production wise, is, you know, right there at the top. You know, they don't have as many bells and whistles as WWE, but their camera work and everything that they do with it, I think, is very good, top notch stuff. They got a lot of great talent. Their talent's a bit on the older side, but you know, they still got, you know, Kaito Kiyomiya and some of those cats over there. Inamura, who remains one of my favorites. I wish they'd finally get behind that guy, but they got a lot of great talent over there. What I don't want is to see Kaito Kiyomiya over in NXT, you know, learning how to look at the hard cam, right, and doing squats and, you know, taking bumps and stuff like that. I don't want them to kind of ruin him, because I think we finally got him to where I think Noah needs him to be, because they've given him so many shots and he just never was able to kind of get through that, you know, and become that top guy that they were looking for. But I think they might have finally gotten him, you know what I mean? And so for him to go do NXT stuff, I think that would just ruin the whole thing.
No, I agree. I wonder if WWE are these talks with WWE pre-existing, or do they just come out there and say, we want to strengthen our relationship with WWE? Because that's exactly what All Japan did at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
They just came out and said, hey, we want to work with WWE, blah, blah, blah. The fans shit on it. I'm very curious, because again, Noah fans are older fans that are typically fans like a little bit more MMA, a little bit more fans of like the Royal Road stuff, right? The Arc Style stuff, the Misawa era, like the it's older, right? So if WWE was as popular in Japan as they want us to think they are, they would tour there all the time. The truth of the matter is like the WWE fans from Japan are just fans of US pop culture. Those exist. But I mean, like, they don't, you know, they don't draw great. And here's the thing. Here's the reason why they want this, right? Here's the key to this. Japanese wrestling is in a bad place right now. Mm-hmm. This is why they're all working together, because nobody's drawing. They have not recovered. None of the companies have recovered from the pandemic. And this reeks to me of Noah trying to, or CyberFight specifically, trying to protect itself, trying to latch on to the only company right now that is being successful at the box office, aside from CMLL. Like, AEW's, New Japan, you know, nobody's drawing a lot. So they're trying to latch on and...
What's going on, guys? This is Rich, co-host of the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get right back to your show. Just want a brief moment to tell you about a sponsor that we have here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network, Arena Club. Now, Arena Club... man, they're great for card collectors. If you're a card collector out there, this is the read for you. And in this hobby, you know, I know you know, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up. We think, oh man, here's the 86 Michael Jordan Fleer rookie card. It's going to be in this pack. It never is. It's never in that pack. And usually you don't have zero. You have zero transparency on available cards and hit rates. It's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each and every one. And when I buy slab packs from Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And I've talked about before, I go to card shows, I grab random packs, I have fun opening them, but I know there's nothing good ever in there. There never is. There's never going to... Why? That's why they're available to buy, because there's nothing good in there. That's not the case anymore with Arena Club slab packs. they're better than those mystery packs because they have a display of available cards. They have a display of the hit rates. They have a display of the grading. You know exactly what you're getting. It's transparent. And Arena Club, more than that, they're an awesome place for collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying. If you're a card collector, you get it all at Arena Club. Now, Arena Club Slab Packs are revolutionizing the repack game, like we said, with full transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed into your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. And the Arena Club grading process is great. It's fast, it's accurate, it's transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. You're not putting this thing in an envelope, send it out to the mail, and then get back a number. Oh, it's a 6.2. Why? It's a, whatever. Too bad. We just said it was 6.2. No, you get all of the rationale, all the explanation of how your card is scored and how it is graded. And man, Arena Club, whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. But there's even better news here, because right now you can get 10% off your first purchase at Arena Club by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Make sure you use that link to get the 10% off your first purchase. Again, arenaclub.com/VOWnet. That is a crazy offer. That is 10% off of your first purchase of anything. If it's a $400 slab pack, you're getting $40 off immediately just by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase. arenaclub.com/VOWnet, 10% off your first purchase. And we appreciate them for sponsoring the Voice Wrestling Podcast Network. Now, back to your show.
Historically speaking, that doesn't work well. WWE tends to strip mine what they want and leave the bones. I don't know. You can say you have historical precedents on your side.
Yeah. So I don't know how I feel about it. Noah is no stranger to having a partnership with an American promotion. They worked at TNA for years, you know, so it's not that crazy. The crazy thing is having a partnership with WWE, because those partnerships typically don't end well. So we'll continue to check it out and see what's going to happen with that. I am not very optimistic. But if it's just like, you know, occasionally, you know, somebody from Noah works a takeover show or whatever NXT is calling their shows now, or if it's, you know, sending Charlie Dempsey over for a big show and, you know, stuff like that, like NXT working, it might be able to be fine, but I always feel like there's an ulterior motive here.
I mean, what do you think? You think they're going to send Ironhead Fujita over to work a takeover?
I mean, I think somebody, what was the joke? Oh, we can get Ironhead Fujita versus Goldberg in a stare down match. I cannot remember who said that joke, but it was so great. It was so great.
You know what they really should do? You know what they really should do? Is they should get Nakajima back and send him over to an NXT show and let him just kick the shit out of those Performance Center kids and like just let him be a dickhead on NXT television. I would be thoroughly entertained.
I think that would be great. Let's go to the chat before we head to our next topic. As always, you guys can send a super chat if you'd like to support the show. If you don't feel like becoming Patreon subscribers, another good way to support the show is just to throw a super chat. But look, super chats became like something that people are getting assaulted by too this week. Not in Voices of Red, but like everywhere. Guys, you can get a comment on even if you don't send a super chat. I try to get to everybody's comments. It's just another way to support the show. So if you would like to, we would appreciate it. But you don't have to if you don't want to. But it's just a nice way to support the show. Like last week, somebody gave us $10 to bury Triple H, and I thought that was awesome. Mm-hmm. Like if there's somebody specifically you want us to bury, feel free. We'll do it. Okay. Yeah, Norbert Kubek said Curry Man to debut in AEW. Yeah, because Christopher Daniels got fired.
That would I didn't even think about that. That would be absolutely hilarious. As if Curry Man showed up in AEW, I would. Like six people, I think, would get that, but I would like it.
Yeah, well, Curry Man's been doing the stuff on the indies too, like in Defy and other places. I think Prestige. So Christopher Daniels has brought him back recently. Antonio Baker, what's up, JD and Mike? What's up, Antonio? Io says this is a long game, and Vince unfortunately is not new to this lawsuit game. No, he's not, and he's got great lawyers. Fake Noah fans today on Twitter. No, y'all know how TNA fans. Now you guys know how TNA fans feel. King of the North says, I'm late. I hope JD hasn't lost his mind. He clearly did not see the beginning of the show.
No. Look at the setup, man. Look at the setup today. The mind is totally gone.
Yeah. So I hope Mike is ready for Laredo Kid versus Top Dollar. Top Dollar has taken Laredo Kid's digital media championship. Laredo Kid has exactly two wins in the last 2 or 3 years at Impact, and they have both happened earlier, like last month, and he's about to give up that title. So it was a good reign, Laredo Kid, but you're about to give up that title belt. Sorry, buddy.
Are you telling me that TNA is going to make Laredo Kid do jobs? I'm shocked to hear that. Shocked.
Yeah. Here's a story that came out of left field last week. All Japan and NWA are doing some kind of type of promotional deal, and EC3 is going to All Japan to work a show coming up.
What a weird connection. Like, yeah. EC3? Like, All Japan's got some really good talent around that. Yuma Anzai is freaking good. For a kid, he is really good. Like, there's some good stuff going on in All Japan right now. And EC3, I mean, there was a time I'd have been, like, into this, like, a decade ago. EC3's never been great, but he's got a good personality, or had one. Like, I don't know, man. This is odd. See what I'm saying? Like, these Japanese companies are latching on to something from the U.S., trying to get a spark of something, and you wind up with EC3. Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. King of the North's got a lot of comments in here, but I'll get to this one. It says, Nakajima kicking the dog shit out of Brian Pillman Jr. Yes, that's what we're looking for. That would be perfect.
Lexus King is already doing jobs on NXT television. I thought he was going to change the game and make everyone in AEW rue the day they were born. I thought Lexus King was the game changer. Did Shawn Michaels figure out that he's not that good?
I think this would be the third company in a row that figured out that he's probably not that good. You know, MLW knew early on. That's why they did not fight to keep him when AEW wanted him. And then he goes to AEW, and sure enough, they had buyer's remorse there, let his contract expire because they're too nice to fire people. Mm-hmm. Unless you're Jose the assistant, I guess.
Yeah, what'd that guy do? Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know. And now it looks like NXT is kind of figuring it out too. But Kyle Long. Okay, so Mike and JD, Timothy Thatcher with Imperium. Timothy Thatcher was already in NXT, and he failed, and they fired him. And mm-hmm. so now he's in NOAH. So I don't think that anybody's clamoring to have him back. So
I don't know, man. Thatcher does good work in the ring, but I mean, like, I've never loved watching Timothy Thatcher work.
I like him in NOAH. I think he fits well in with that brand.
In what NOAH does, yes. In an American-based promotion, I mean, just kind of there. Like, he's a solid worker, but I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So I was going to get to, I wanted to talk about Daniel Bryan. That's a Freudian slip. Bryan Danielson. Sorry. I was thinking about him earlier today, but let's go ahead and get to I think this story is a little bit bigger right now. So it looks like Collision is actually going to be doing a residency in Arlington, Texas. So as first reported by Dallas News, AEW and the city of Arlington announced a historic partnership that will feature AEW hosting a summer series of events on the path to AEW All In. They missed a really good opportunity to call it the Summer Sizzler Tour, like Dusty would have done.
What's that tour?
Yeah. From Esports Stadium in Arlington. So I guess kids play video games there. Beginning Saturday, July 20th. So they're going to do a bunch of AEW Collision and Ring of Honor there. I think they said in the actual press release, they said Ring of Honor dates will be announced too. So, but they're doing Death Before Dishonor there. And so I think Ring of Honor almost has a damn residency in Texas too. They do a lot of stuff in Texas with Ring of Honor. But I think, you know what? I think this is a sign of a couple of things. I don't think that it is like all the doom and gloom that people make it out to be. This is actually probably going to turn out to be a pretty good deal. And financially good, but it also says that Collision is not doing well on tour, which we already kind of knew. And they're probably losing their ass on some of those arenas that they're booking because they're just not putting that many people in it. And so this is a good way to keep the cost down. Don't have to do a ton of touring, and they might even be getting a site fee. I don't know if that's been reported yet, but I know people are talking that they actually might be getting paid by the city of Arlington. And Arlington is actually looking at bringing in a lot of stuff for tourism and things like that. The arena is like 2,500. I don't think they will ever set it up for 2,500, especially if they're going to be running that many shows. But look, they can do like Impact Zone and set it up to like, you know, 1,200. And I think, look, Collision was the TV show that nobody ever asked for. It's kind of the stepchild of AEW, more so than Ring of Honor. And but this is a way to make it a viable product, and I think I'm okay with it.
I am too. I'm going to throw this at you too. Like, I do think they're probably getting something of a fee, so now you're going to get paid to run some shows as opposed to have to stress booking places, right? The company is not hot right now. I'm going to throw at you something, and now you know WWE. Michael, do you recall a little show called Monday Night Raw?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember where the first, like, 2 years of Monday Night Raw took place?
The Manhattan Center.
Every week, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So they had a residency in New York City doing those every week. And you know what I liked about those old Monday Night Raw shows is in 1992, when the business started to go down, in early 93, they course corrected and changed the show, right? Yeah. Now you had those early, you watch those early Raws from the Manhattan Center. Nothing on TV felt like that, right? The shows became unique unto themselves and they didn't feel like the syndicated shows. It had a different vibe. It had a different fever feeling to it, I should say. Right. And I think that you have, as Collision has tried to find its own identity, I went to a Collision recently, I had a good time. I think giving it a unique visual distinctiveness is only a good thing, right? I missed wrestling shows looking different. Like, I liked when AEW ran Daly's Place just because it looked different.
Yeah.
Right. I missed WCW Saturday Night Live when it was either at Techwood or when it was at, I forgot the name of the other place they ran it at, Center Stage in Atlanta. Right. Those shows looked different. They had a different feel. I liked Manhattan Center Raws. I liked the Impact Zone. Mm-hmm. Right. So I heard people go, well, aren't you going to burn out the market? I'm like, not necessarily. Memphis had Memphis TV and the Mid-South Coliseum every Monday night for decades.
Yeah.
Right. All this is a few weeks worth of shows. And you said 1,200. I bet they set it up for like 5. You can get 500 people there and make it sound great. Look what NXT did with Full Sail when they were doing. Look what they still did with the Capital Combat Center. Like, you need to make the show feel different. I think this is a good thing. And especially if they're getting a couple bucks from Arlington to do this. And it's in an esports stadium. So it's going to be smaller. It's going to have a different vibe to it right away. I think this is a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. You know, Dynamite is the A show. It's never going to not be the A show. So them just touring around makes a ton of sense. You know, earlier this year, there was a rumor that TNA was looking at going to take over the Full Sail Arena that NXT used to go to. And I was like, all about it, because they're losing their ass while they're touring too. You know, if you're losing money touring, and look, I can't stand Eric Bischoff, but not every one of his ideas were bad. When he took over WCW, like right around that same time frame, right, 93, they were touring and they were trying to sell tickets and do all these things, and he just took them off the road completely, unless it was a pay-per-view or a Clash of the Champions, and he moved everything to Disney MGM Studios. And I thought that, and that was obviously a smart decision. They got the books right. So right now, nothing that they're doing is drawing for Collision. Nobody cares about Collision. You can tell by the ratings and tell by the ticket sales. It's just not a show that people care about, but they still want to be able to make money off of that TV show. So in order to make the most money, they're going to be moving it to a fixed location, at least for the summer. I think they're testing it out to move it to like a fixed location going forward. If it stays in Arlington, or look, they had the Impact Zone already in Orlando. That's where they were doing Ring of Honor. And I thought that was a very smart thing. You know, I think WWE kind of has a stranglehold on Orlando. So maybe that's why maybe that just didn't quite work out for them, because there's a reason why they stopped, right? They stopped doing it altogether because they were doing Dark and Ring of Honor.
Well, they killed Dark and they just started doing Ring of Honor there. But they started putting Ring of Honor on the Collision tours.
Yeah.
Right. So you might rip it, but like the timing worked out. But I think they should. I thought they should have stayed there. I think that Impact Zone, that former Impact Zone, we should call it, has a good vibe to it. Like, you're always going to have people there because of the tourism. Like, I don't think this is a bad idea. And like I said, WWE has done this in eras where the numbers weren't as high, right? There's been lots of times that wrestling shows have been run out of the same venue. Like, Dallas ran the Sportatorium for an eon, right? You can make these things work in smaller arenas or smaller arena-esque setups. if you can keep something cool going on. I think that keeping, and again, keeping Dynamite in the big basketball arenas gives it a look. Make it look different. If you're going to have these shows, make them feel different. I think that's the big struggle with Collision for a long time, is there were differences, but didn't feel different enough. Like, you put in a different venue, all of a sudden it's going to feel different. And then let it look different. Let it feel different. Let it feel smaller. Like I said, pro wrestling's most successful television franchise is Monday Night Raw. That started in the Manhattan Center. It's very small shows. But if you get a good crowd going and you have a vibe of the TV show, it'll work.
Yeah, and they can film it to make it look like it's actually big, like they used to do in the Impact Zone. That was like they made it seem like there was like, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people in there, and there was like 400 or 500 at times. You know, you can film it as such to where it actually looks like it's a big crowd. So
NXT does it all the time with they were better at it at Full Sail when they actually, like, you know, had things darker. Now that they light everything in the Capitol Commons, and you can see the duct work sometimes, like. I think you can do that. You can dress the set and you can hide it a little bit. I don't think that's a problem. That's just smart TV.
Yeah. You know, I really liked Black and Gold NXT from Full Sail. I thought that was a very good show. I liked the vibe of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people for years blamed the Impact Zone for being one of the reasons why TNA started going downhill. No, it's because what they were putting in front of the Impact Zone, people didn't want to watch. Mm-hmm. So they just didn't show up. That was TNA's fault. So as long as you're giving them good content, you know, they'll continue to show up. I think this, you know, and look, this is also AEW acknowledging that Collision on the road is not working. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely not. So I said it's not all doom and gloom. That's not a good sign that it's not working on the road. But I think this is a good solution to that problem to make it more financially viable.
But at the same time, like, they didn't, you said that the show wasn't necessary. Like, a year or two ago, AEW is doing pretty decent on the road. They were doing all right. You know, they don't run house show schedules. And then they have another show, right? They doubled their work. It was very Thunder-esque. And they're not taping. You'll know it's bad when they're taping every week. I almost said Thunder. When they're taping every week Collision and Dynamite together. They're not doing that, right?
Yeah.
They got something different. Like I said, this can feel like WWE Saturday Night. It can feel like Monday Night Raw. And, like, you're going back to what has worked traditionally. And when the shows get hot, you can put them on the road again. Like, even those old Nitros, right? You watched Nitro when the show wasn't hot. They were running in different kind of venues because they weren't filling arenas every week.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing, like, you know, nightclubs and stuff like that just to do kind of different, like, specials. And I think that looked cool.
The most famous NWO invasion angle came at MGM Studios in the parking lot.
Yeah.
They used to do parking lot shows, and they were cool. They felt different. They looked different, right? Like, we have to stop running. We have to stop in wrestling running towards what WWE has done for the last 25 years. We have to stop that and start, like, being creative. And this is, in my mind, especially wearing it in an esports arena, something that's totally different than what we've seen, right? It's going to be a different vibe, different setup. Be different. Don't be like them.
You know, TNA, right before the pandemic, I think it was like the year before the pandemic, actually ran an esports arena in Los Angeles. And they actually did really well. It looked really cool, but since our cameras are terrible, but the pictures of it, I thought was actually really cool. I did not realize just how big esports was, that they actually have like 2,500 seat arena.
That's a decent sized arena, man. They're not going to dress for 2,500. They're going to, like you said, anywhere from 1,000 to 500 is my prediction, you know? And I think you do it based on the crowd you have that night. And, like, it's an experiment. I said, I like experimentation. I think this is cool. Wrestling every week from basketball arenas is freaking boring. Do something different.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think this also means, I think it was King of the North in the chat said, this means, probably means more CMLL guys because it's in Texas. I think I can see that.
What a shame.
I think, well, it means, and he says, I'm on board. I also think this means we'll see more of the Von Erichs because they, every time they go to Texas, you hear Stranglehold. And so I think that definitely means we'll see more of the Von Erichs. And, you know, Lance Archer probably won't go months without an appearance because they always book him when they're in Texas.
It's true. You know, Arlington is a suburb of Dallas. So I think you got a good point on both of those.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So next story. I thought this was very interesting and I don't think it's getting enough play. Bryan Danielson's contract ends just before All In. but he says he wants to stay on and through the Tacoma Dome show, which I think is either in September or October, the Wrestle Dream Tacoma show that's happening this coming. Actually, I think it's in October. And then he's going to be essentially a free agent. He's only going to work part-time schedule. I don't think this is getting enough play, man, because he is a vital piece to AEW.
He is super vital. I don't see him going back to WWE because I don't think – I think he feels – one, he's an exec basically in AEW at this point, right? He's going to keep – I'm pretty sure he's going to keep his job there. Tony basically said he'd give him the keys of the kingdom if something ever happened to him. So I think that he eventually just re-signs and just doesn't have a full-time contract, you know, play it out. And, you know, I mean, we've seen this. I didn't think Cody was going to leave either. But, I mean, like, yeah. I don't foresee Danielson leaving and going back to WWE. I just don't think they have a place for him right now.
Yeah. My prediction is that he will stay in AEW. He obviously looks like he's very happy. But he was also very happy in WWE. And mm-hmm. He wasn't the guy that left WWE because he hated Vince. He actually had a really good relationship with Vince. Probably to which kind of kills part of my opinion of him because I'm such an admirer of his. But, you know, I don't think he's leaving AEW, but if I were WWE I wanted to take a huge chunk out of AEW, I'm doing everything I can to get this guy to come back home. I think that's like, if you're WWE, that's the move. And I think that there's money in a big Cody versus Bryan Danielson match down the road. Maybe not WrestleMania, but like, One of their big four shows, stadium shows, I think could be headlined by Brian and Cody Rhodes. I think there's money there.
Could be. Yeah, I think that's why you're Tony. You have to keep him there. It's gonna be when he is no longer a week to week performer in that company. It's gonna be bad. You know, they haven't found a guy to replace him.
Yeah. No. They haven't. And you know, either company's probably gonna give him like an Undertaker kind of schedule. So. I'm sure he'll accept that. But with AEW, at least, like, if he wants to just go do like a random Tokyo Dome or like a random Arena Mexico, he could do that. But if WWE really wants him, they'll probably let him do that too. Like, it's a new world out there. TKO's in charge now, so maybe they would just let him do that stuff. I don't know. I think that is super interesting. I just don't know how it's going to play out, but my prediction is he stays.
Well, I don't think he gets to do Arena Mexico or Tokyo Dome if he's back in WWE because those companies are working with AEW.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere, but that's definitely not a guarantee.
All right, a couple more notes. AEW and WBD, sorry, exclusive TV rights negotiating window lasts into the summer. And then at that point, it looks like they'll be able to start negotiating elsewhere. It looks like the NBA is heading over to NBC, so now there's going to be a void there. There's people that think that because the NBA is heading to NBC, that automatically makes AEW more viable. And then there's also the people that are like, look, if they lose NBA, they might just rebrand the whole damn thing and just put lower cost programming all over the place and just do more like, you know, reality shows and home and garden shows and just, you know, play, you know, reruns of The Accountant. So some people think that that's not even connected to AEW at all, man. But this whole TV thing is getting interesting and we're getting down to the wire here.
Well, here's the problem is like they're redoing their contract, restructuring their contracts at a time when the big deals might not be being tossed out anymore. Like we talked about it last week, we're seeing contraction with the streaming services. We're seeing a lot of streamers like bundle together to stay viable. So, but they all need content, right? So you're going to get paid something. Are you going to get paid that $1 billion deal you were hoping? I don't know. Zasloff is always a wild card. You never know what he's going to do. The thing, like you said, though, is like they already have those networks, right? Like, that's what all their TLC networks are. Like, you bought TBS and TNT and those things so you can have prestige stuff. So the idea is, how do you keep, without killing your investment, right? How do you keep these things more prestige than what you already have? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if they know the answer to that. But that's, I don't foresee them becoming another TLC because they already have TLC.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't foresee it either. And, you know, and I guess I've been pretty optimistic on AEW's TV deal for a long time. I think they're going to get a new one. it might not be as big as they were anticipating. And I think that's something that they're going to need to prepare for. But guess what? They're carrying a lot of empty debt right now, like Ring of Honor contracts. And like they have a roster that's just way damn too big or way too damn big. They could probably cut 40% of their roster and use a lot of day rate guys and girls and move like what they did with Collision, moving it to a fixed location for Collision. And while still getting a rights fee, I think they would be, you know, financially viable at that point. But right now, everything that they're doing is geared towards getting that next big rights fee. And the increase just might not be exactly what they were hoping for. And if that's the case, then they just have to start cutting costs.
Which is fine. That's best business. Yeah. So the timing might just not work out, but we don't know. We don't know. Like I said, with David Zaslav, you just don't know what he's going to do. He's not a very good CEO.
No, WBD is losing its ass, and it's has not been good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Couple That's notes. Mercedes. I don't know why I put this in here. Mercedes, finally a heel. Thank God. Right? Good. I mean, come on.
Dude, that was actually a good angle. Like, that, I'm way more interested in Mercedes and Willow after that angle than I was beforehand. Like, Willow Dr. bombed her through a table and it looked freaking awesome. My first thought was, well, I guess Mercedes' ankle's okay and good to go. Like, it was actually a good way to further that angle. Like, Willow's a loved babyface, and like, I don't know if they thought Mercedes was going to be a babyface, and they accepted it, or they just thought this is going to work itself out. I think they thought it was going to work itself out because they already went through this with Saraya. And I think they just said, well, we can't push Mercedes as a heel right away. People are going to dig her. We'll just let it work out. And it has. Like, she's a better heel. You know, the AEW audience does not like her. Let's be honest. Like, no one's chanting CEO. No one's, like, feeling it. Like, her WWE shtick is not working here. And in my opinion, that should just be her shtick permanently, is that's going to be her character. Use it to get heat.
Yeah, and I think she could probably be a pretty damn good heel in this company. And I don't know if that's exactly what they signed her on to be, because, you know, she super famous, all that, and she did come out to the big ovation, so they probably knew that. And but, you know, in hindsight being what it is, you know, they booked her against Willow, who is like the best babyface on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they kind of knew that this was all coming, right? Because, you know, Sasha Banks, I always felt, was way more effective as a heel in WWE. And then coming over here, she just came in as like a super famous person. People are excited to see her, but she naturally just kind of comes off as a heel. And with her robotic voice and the way she just kind of panders to the audience, and she calls herself the CEO. I mean, that's all total heel character. So I think it's working. Although, you know, for Willow, she just has to be careful, because if you're going to go out there, you know, dressed like Hillary Clinton, you might become a heel yourself. So you got to be careful with that, with the pantsuits, you know, be more of a badass. But the Dr. Bomb I thought was awesome. I thought that looked great. That table just exploded. I think she just laid into that thing, man.
She did. It was pretty. It was, like I said, it was really good. I do think that, I think Mercedes is also aware that she's a better heel than a babyface. Right. So I had to think they knew this was coming, because they didn't do anything to endear her to us, really. Right, they program her with, like you said, the biggest baby face on the roster right away. Like, they had to see this coming, so it's working. Like, it's working for me. It's probably going to main event the show. Curious to see what happens. Hopefully, Mercedes is a good wrestler, right? Willow's a good wrestler. They should have a really good match, as long as knowing that.
Yeah, I think they will. But man, I think that was it. I think I ran through all my thing. Let's get to the chat before we head out. Let's get to the chat real quick. Let's see. So Antonio Baker says Jim Cornette did that with Ring of Honor and OVW, just set it up to make it look bigger. That's what he did at TNA. Well, yeah. I mean, that's like an old school thing to do. We're talking about setting up the, what's that?
The territory trick.
Yeah. Byron Cutler says that's a Royal Rumble pay-per-view match if I ever heard one. Cody Rhodes versus Daniel Bryan. Royal Rumble, you know, they can do one overseas in one of their big shows overseas. I don't, obviously Rock versus Cody is happening at WrestleMania next year. So I think Bryan Danielson versus Cody's got money written all over it, if they ever go that way, which I don't think they will. AEW being able to offer people office jobs, which include health benefits and stuff as a private company, is an underrated thing.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, they're not doing it with that many people, but Yeah, if they would do it to their entire roster, I think that would be awesome, because I think that those wrestlers are employees. They're absolutely employees. I think the independent contractor stuff is crap, and AEW has been willing to do that for some people as long as they're famous enough, but they're not doing it for other people. Like, when they get it, you know what I mean? So if the talent has leverage, right? I mean, that's how they brought in the EVPs, right? Well, they brought them in, and now they got the health benefits, but they're not doing it for like JD Drake. You know what I mean?
Sean Dean works in the office.
Yes.
Like, there are guys there who have legitimate jobs with the company,
right?
Also, who get insurance benefits. Like that's what he's talking. Like, there are lots of lower level guys who actually work for AEW. Well,
yeah, if they also have a producer gig, or you know, like what's that guy that we hate, Pat Buck, right? Who wrestles, like he's also a producer. You know what I mean? But yeah, Captain Sean Dean. I think he started there as a wrestler, and they realized that he probably had some, you know, other skills. I think, well, he was Army, right? He was Army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was an officer in the Army, at least I think. His name's Captain Sean Dean, you would think. So they're probably like, hey, you got some other skills. We'll put you to work doing other stuff. But I'm saying, like, if they did that for the entire roster, then that would be groundbreaking.
I agree. No, they should. If you work for this, okay, tonight I was a freelance camera operator tonight. I'm an independent contractor. I showed up, I did my job, went home. I can work wherever the fuck I want. I'm a teacher. Like, that is not what they can do with any of the companies. Like, AEW allows you to do work some indies, but you work for AEW.
Yeah.
So there, you are an employee.
Right. It's not being like a contracted plumber where, like, if I contract a plumber, but I hate my neighbor, I say, you can come here, but you also can't work on my neighbor's house. That stuff's not going to fly. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to be able to put that in a contract. And that's kind of what they're doing. And it has been going on for a long time. So it's not AEW specific, but since you guys brought it up, I wanted to go on a little bit of a rant about how they're actually employees and not true independent contractors.
Agreed.
Byron Culler, there's a guy in AEW I do see going to WWE, and that's Ricky Starks. I could see that.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, I think he, like, for all the big shows, I think he's actually there at the WWE shows carrying Cody's bags a lot of times. So I think it's like a natural fit for him to go there.
I think I like Ricky Starks a lot. I think he's very talented. I think it's funny that everybody's like, well, that guy should go to WWE and then he'd be a star. It's like, well, you know, whose spots is he going to take?
Yeah. But guys, I really appreciate everybody being here tonight. Sorry we started a little bit late. Sorry we had some technical difficulties early. Sorry that I went on. I'm actually not sorry I went on a big rant to start the show. I think that's pretty funny. But we really do appreciate you guys being here. Please give us a big thumbs up. Hit that like button. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, please give us a 5-star review and let Joe and Rich know that you came here to listen to Mike and JD Show. Head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. So guys, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts or whatever, but you don't want to hear all the ads, you can become a Patreon subscriber. $5 a month. A lot of times this show doesn't get uploaded until sometime on Friday, but for the Voices of Wrestling Network feed, but I put it to Patreon right away. So it comes right in your feed on Thursday night. You'll have it in your, if you just like to get up and listen to it on your way to work, you'll have it right there on your Patreon feed. And I think that's how a lot of people listen to us too. So head over there. I have a Brace for Impact coming out this weekend. I also have already in the can a MLW review. And then JD, we're going to do some X-Men talk this weekend. Right.
We got our buddy Jeremy Finestone coming in on Sunday night. We're going to talk X-Men 97. I haven't watched the final yet. I'm going to watch it tomorrow night. I'm very excited. Best show on TV.
Yeah. And Patreon subscribers, if you're listening right now, I threw a Q&A thread out there. So please comment on that thread on stuff that you want JD and I to talk about. And the stuff that's not TNA related will end up on Overtime. But the stuff that's TNA related, I'm going to just do on Brace for Impact. I like to keep my TNA talk on Brace for Impact, unless it's like a historical thing and JD wants to get in on it. But I like to keep the TNA stuff strictly to the TNA show. So please go ahead and comment on there. Let us know what you want us to talk about. And then I'm going to actually clip those segments, those Q&A segments, for free on Patreon. So that way all the free subscribers can check it out too, as I make an effort to put more free content on the Patreon. So that's coming up. Lots of stuff coming out this weekend. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. And until next week, mahalo. Competition starting to get
is a click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's a click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we.
Hey kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.